Thank you, Lord, for your glory that we observe and witness everywhere. Lord, yes, we see your signature on everything. We're thankful, Father, for redeeming us, for affording us, Lord, this plan of salvation for us to consider and embrace and relish in. Thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, all your greatness, all, Lord, of your blessings. Grant now a blessing upon your word as we would boldly speak it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share something with you that I've been thinking about now for the past several years and practicing. I shared this with our congregation, I believe it was last year, in a discipleship class. It was well received. There may be some of you North Phoenix people here that have heard it. So I ask for your indulgence, but nonetheless, thought I would share this with you. Is the following phrase in the Bible: stop and smell the roses. Stop and smell the roses. The answer is no. But the principle behind it, the concept is, and so that's what I want to convey with you this afternoon. It's just something I've been thinking about for, like I mentioned, quite a few years now. And we're going to look at three verses only found in three separate chapters of Ecclesiastes. We're going to begin with Ecclesiastes 2:24. Now let's understand, of course, a hermeneutical perspective here. Of course, Ecclesiastes was authored by Solomon, who we know and understand to be the wisest man ever, as well as the wealthiest man ever. And he says, as he writes here in 2:24, read it: there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Ecclesiastes 3:13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Also in Ecclesiastes 5:18, we read, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion.
Service in heaven. Okay.
So this is what I've been practicing on the basis of these three texts. And I want to convey to you here a definition before we get into this. I looked up the word enjoy, okay? Often I'll look up these very simple words because we can gain a little bit more depth and meaning from these words. I think that's a lot of teachers, Bible class teachers, Sunday school teachers do that as well. And so I looked up this word enjoy, okay? And it means, there's two meanings, two definitions, if you will. First one, take delight in or pleasure in an activity or occasion. Secondly, possess and benefit from. Synonyms would be the word like, the word love, be fond of, be entertained by, take pleasure in, delight in, appreciate, relish, revel in, adore, savor, bask in. Of course, this word enjoy has the word joy in it, if we break it down. That's kind of why I also like to kind of look up some of these definitions and study the word etymology behind it. So we know that this word enjoy has the word joy in it. The prefix, though, en, this prefix means within or in, as we would enjoy something within. A couple examples would be the word enthusiasm or enjoin. And so when I was looking at this, it became evident to me, based upon this first phrase here of Ecclesiastes 2:24, it says, there is nothing better for a man. Nothing better. For a man that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. So this afternoon, we're going to look at these texts. First of all, in the first one, we have the premise that all these gifts and these blessings and all that he has given for us to enjoy are from his hand. Secondly, as we read in the second reference, that all of these are a gift of God. And thirdly, that these are given to us because it is our portion. And we read in these three texts that it's referencing eating and drinking, though I think broadly speaking, it's even more so. You know, I saw all of you enjoying eating and drinking over the last hour and a half. We all relish in that, and we should, because even as brothers would often pray before a meal, you know, we thank you, Lord, for these gifts, right, of food and drink. We hear that often in the prayer, and rightly so. And we do enjoy them, but my objective this afternoon is to really drive this home and for us to consider relishing in and savoring these moments that God gives us. What are some reasons we don't enjoy things as we should? I'm not discounting the fact that we don't enjoy things, but I have practiced to ponder more on the gifts given to us at his hand and to just adore them and to just revel in them, because this is our charge to us. For there's nothing else is better, the wisest man and the wealthiest man said. Amen? So some things I think that we could go through if I was conducting a Bible class here, I would get some really good feedback, would be we just so often take things for granted. And then we're off to the next task. Okay, we've eaten, time to clean up, and off to the next task or go to work, whatever. Often I think sometimes we are too busy. And we know what that acronym stands for. It means being under Satan's yoke, if you may or may not have heard that. Often, and I'm guilty of this, and there's nothing wrong with it, I'll put to-do lists together, right? So I can get a little bit more organization on what I have at tasks at hand. And, you know, we're just going down through the to-do list and we're checking off this and that and so forth. And a lot of the activities on our to-do list involve work. But really, we were designed to work. You know, God created Adam and Eve because he needed somebody to till the ground. And work was actually commissioned toward us even prior to the curse and the fall. And a lot of us have to work. Many of us enjoy our work. Some of us are workaholics, and that's okay. But just keep everything in balance, though. You know, we can overwork. We know what that means, and we can be so distracted with work that we're not, you know, we sacrifice then being in the Word and our prayer life and so forth. You all know what I'm trying to convey here. Often we just get too preoccupied. And the Spirit really was leading me to, you know, Dave, you need to pause. Many times throughout the day and just soak it all in. Just understand that I am giving you these gifts to enjoy and to relish in. And that is his desire of us. James 1:17, we read, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So loved ones, it is his desire to give all of these gifts which are good and every perfect gift. And he does that, but I wonder, you know, to be able to effectively give, there has to be somebody to receive. And the Lord taught me that so early on in my young life as a Christian. I used to drive the bus at the retirement center in Mansfield in my single days, mostly elderly sisters. Occasionally there was a brother, but it was mostly the elderly sisters. And there was one sister that, if she invited me once, she invited me at least 2-3 times. I think the first time or two I begged off, I refused. And I knew that the sister didn't have but 2 nickels rubbed together, as the saying goes. And it might have been one of the reasons why I kind of bowed out. She was poor, but I thought, well, she could just, as the saying goes, right, just add a little bit more water to the soup. Wouldn't cost anything. But then I thought, like, who am I? Who am I to disallow this blessing of hers? So I thank the Lord a long time ago, he taught me, for somebody to effectively give something, there has to be a receiver. You know, oftentimes we'll reject something or whatever, and the transaction just falls apart. So look at it. God's desire is to give us good and perfect gifts. And for the most part, I think we just take it for granted. We take them, we receive them. But are we, and I do know we thank him for it, but are we savoring the moments when he gives these things to us? Just as much as we enjoy eating. That's kind of like the apostolic way, isn't it? Fellowship and eating. We enjoy that, and our sisters are wonderful cooks. And God bless you for your talents. And we enjoy eating and drinking, but really beyond. And we're going to look at some examples of other gifts that he gives, and the list is endless. I just have a few examples. To stop and smell the roses, or stop and smell the coffee. Another verse I thought of, 1 Timothy 6:17, says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly, richly, all things to enjoy. Not some things, not a few things, all things to what? To enjoy. This is all scripture that supports this lesson that the Lord has been teaching me over the years. And I really want to share it with you. And I hope it impacts you more so to just stop. Stop and relish in God's blessings that he would give to us by his hand, and that we would recognize them truly as gifts, and that all that he gives is our portion. Here in Ecclesiastes 2:24, he is encouraging us to take pleasure in what we're doing now and to enjoy life because it comes from God's hand. Those who really know how to enjoy life are the ones who take life each day as a gift from God, thanking him for it and serving him in it. Here in this second text that defines all these as a gift of God, when we have the proper view of God, we discover that real pleasure is found in enjoying whatever we have as gifts from God, not in what we accumulate. Some things I've been enjoying, which I would highly recommend you to consider, and which I'm sure you do at times. We can enjoy the sunsets, the sunrises and the sunsets. Beautiful. Often a lot of color comes with them, as well as, how about the rainbow? The promise given by God to man that he will never destroy the earth with water and flood again. And how many times, you know, might we catch a rainbow? You might be with somebody and say, oh, there's a rainbow. You know, everybody's looking for the rainbow. And you see the beautiful colors in that beautiful bow. And we relish in the moment. And or how about a full moon? I don't think particularly a quarter moon or a half moon catches our attention, but you know, when a full moon sits on the horizon and it's closest in to the earth in its cycle, it's, I think, about 15%, it appears to be like 15% bigger. And then we would really go, aha, look at that. That secondary light that God put in the heavens for us out of his graciousness and in gifting us with that secondary light. We enjoy our children. And I will go out on a limb and say, we enjoy our grandchildren even more. Should have had them first. You know how the saying goes. I just almost cry when I look at our two beautiful granddaughters and savor those moments, because they are so perfect and they're beautiful, like all the children are. But there's something special when it's your own. And they're fun, and you'd never know what they're going to say. And unless there's a safety issue with my two granddaughters, they pretty much have free rein. I didn't do that with my boys, but you know what I'm talking about, grandparents. Are we adoring them as we should? Are we really relishing in those moments with our children and our grandchildren? Husbands, enjoy your spouses more. Wives, enjoy your husbands more. To the singles, I know not to leave you out. You have a lot of friends, just like we do. Enjoy your friends. Relish in the relationships that you have with your friends. For this is a gift of God. Enjoy your church family. I enjoy my church family. I enjoyed my home church family the last 6 months that I was in Mansfield taking care of my mom, who was in hospice. I was a primary caregiver for her, and the Lord took her about 5 months when into hospice. Incredible experience, one I will never forget. But I am thankful I was able to enjoy my mom in the end of her life. And that was a term that often the hospice nurse would use. I never really picked up on that prior to taking care of her. They would use the term end of life. That was an interesting phrase to think about. Somebody's end of life, and all of us will have an end of life. The Lord may take us in a heartbeat. Some of us may lie in hospice. Some of us may be sick days, months, even years prior to Lord taking us. But that term is a hospice term that they use to convey the patient's status, that they are in the end of life. I enjoy our denomination as a whole. Brother Jim made reference that, you know, we enjoy each other. He said, we enjoy the brethren. Amen. What's it say in the text? In the New Testament, we are to love the brotherhood. And I savor in being with the brotherhood, which also implies sisterhood too. Because it's all about relationships with God. He is a relational God. And you know, I preached that a couple times here. A lot of us, most of us, enjoy sleep. I asked Brother Joe, what's your time clock on? Because he just came back from what, Asia? Like, he's off like, what, 10 to 14 hours, something like that? He's trying to catch up. We enjoy sleep. We're blessed by sleep, the Bible says. And it is amazing, isn't it? You know, we're tired. We sleep for 6 to 8 hours or whatever, and our whole body's rejuvenated. Our heart's rejuvenated. It is amazing to relish and to really think about how God blesses us and the things that we delight in, even that of even sleep. It might come up, oh, that was such a good rest. Thank you, Lord. I needed that. Or you go down for a power nap or something. So refreshing. These are gifts given to us by His design of our bodies. We should relish in the present and enjoy the gifts of God. And the base premise for this, where the Lord took me to this study, is simply found in Genesis chapter 1. I'll read these verses. They're all familiar to us, but I want to punctuate a phrase that's often repeated in almost every one of these verses. You know where I'm going with this, right? That is the phrase, "It was good." So beginning with verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." How many times do we wake up in the morning and, you know, now we can enjoy the day and go to work. Most people work during the day and we sleep at night. And I'm thankful for the light. We can see. It was good. "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in it upon the earth. And it was so." I enjoyed my run to the grocery store when I was taking care of my mom. Went about every 2-3 days. I'm not a shopper, like most men are not, but something I had to do. And I really enjoyed the produce department, because it's like, oh, all these gifts given as gifts from God by his hand, and they're all individual, and they're all unique. They're all different colors and different sizes and shapes. And just as we read here, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." And I would just savor going from produce bin to produce bin, picking out whatever I wanted, recognizing these were all gifts. And that orange, which I may eventually eat, or that pineapple, was given for me. "And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." How many times do we gaze in the heavens and we would ask maybe a friend next to us, which we're both gazing, like we might say, how can some say there is no God? And lately I've been studying the universe. And as I study it, I get smaller and smaller and smaller. And I get more humble and humble and humble, because I am so small compared to what he has created and what I believe he is continuing to create. Just as a sidebar, I started studying our galaxy. Our galaxy, we've seen pictures of it, is like disc shape, right? With a spheroid bulge in the middle. And we have chosen the largest measurement we know to measure the universe. We could conceivably measure the universe in inches, feet, yards, miles, but there'd be so many zeros behind those measurements. So man has chosen to measure the universe in light years. Still, there's a lot of zeros behind light years. So the Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years in diameter. It's about 1,000 light years thick. And that's just our galaxy, of which our solar system is positioned about 25,000 light years away from the galactic core. And we're not done yet. There are billions, billions, and billions of galaxies. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good in the evening, and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly upon the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and of every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the earth, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for me. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. This is a very good, not just a good, a very good, at the end of this, of his 6 days of work. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So here's where my thinking was going. If all that he has created was good, shouldn't we then enjoy it as good? Understand it as given to us by his hand and is a gift. And this is our portion to enjoy. Even as I made reference to that orange and pineapple that was created, harvested just for me, I often think of maybe I might buy some fish and as I would eat the fish that now is on my plate, I would sometimes think, you know, God created this piece of meat for me because I'm going to eat it. Excuse the pun, but this is my portion. We enjoyed the wedding feast yesterday. I enjoyed the venue and the menu. I enjoyed the fellowship with you, believers of like precious faith. Again, we began the wedding feast after the beautiful wedding, which I believe we all enjoyed. And I'll make a confession here. I did not always enjoy going to weddings until I really got into the study of Christ's first miracle. And he taught me a lot in that study. It's like, this is a venue he chose to perform his first miracle, the marriage of Cana, Galilee. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Going forward from that study, I now relish in enjoying and attending weddings. Step back for a moment, knowing that God has put the union of two together for his purpose, so that, as Gary more or less mentioned, such that the sum of the parts would be greater than the whole, that they both together could more abundantly and greater serve God together and harmonize together in the holy state of matrimony. It is amazing. We serve an amazing God. And we should ponder these moments. We should bask in them. We all enjoyed each other yesterday, didn't we? Enjoyed the celebration. Enjoyed the weather. Enjoyed the foliage outside of San Juan Capistrano. And enjoying taking in meat and food and drink. And a reception and celebration of what God has done and in the union of two lives together. So stop. Stop. Smell the roses. Even on my walk, sometimes I just take the time and stoop down and smell the flowers. And I want you to consider all the senses of which God has given us by his design to enjoy these gifts. The gifts and the sense of sight, our hearing, our smelling, our taste, our touch. We all are aware that a blind person then has to work on making his or her senses even that much more acute, such as hearing, right? So sometimes I just like close my eyes and I listen for noises, sounds. Often we don't do that if our eyes are open. And I'll often hear, even in the early morning hours, the birds start chirping. May hear the coyotes in the distance howling. Crickets, whatever. Just stop. His signature is on everything. And we need to soak in the glory of God as it is his desire and nothing better for him to give us these moments. And life is too short. We've heard that saying, it is too short. There's a quote, it goes like this: yesterday is the past, tomorrow's the future, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Another similar saying says, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift of God, which is why we call it the present. Often we think about our past or our history. We really can't relish in that, per se. And or we may be planning and thinking about the future. No, we can only relish and savor the moment. And those moments then become our past tomorrow, which we may consider and ponder upon that, yeah, I stopped and smelled the coffee yesterday. And it was wonderful. It was beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Actually, this previous quote is more embedded in this more comprehensive quote, which says, and it bids to the fact that life is too short. It says, the clock is running. Make the most of today. Time waits for no man. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. We know this life is too short. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Psalm 102:11, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Psalm 103:15 to 16, as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. There is nothing better than to smell the roses.